In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Confession of St. Peter is immediately connected to the failure of St. Peter. For what flesh and blood did not reveal to him was very easily dismissed by flesh and blood. The very same man who confessed that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, turns around and without hardly even taking a single breath, speaks for Satan. But this failure is as important for us as the confession. For while his confession proclaims who Christ is, his failure reminds us of why Jesus must be the Christ and why we need him. Because Peter's mind, like all of ours, turns again and again and again back away from the things of God, the things of man. Peter, like all of us, needs redemption. And Peter, like all of us, needs constant catechesis, constant teaching about the things of God. For the heart of man is drawn always to the things of man. And the things of man are avoiding pain, increasing pleasure, and seeking glory. The things of man include a constant fight for an advantage over my neighbor, to increase my wealth and my luxury. And we turn away from the things of God. But the things of God, that which Peter and we all should ponder, are the Son of Man, the Christ, suffering many things, being rejected, being killed, and after 3 days, rising again. And it is this teaching that Peter rebukes. We need constant catechesis on these things because they are not natural to us, not in our current state. Our flesh rallies against them and always seeks the easier way. Because Peter, like all of us, rightly looks at what Jesus says and discerns that those things are bad for him. They're not only bad for Jesus, but they'd be bad for us. The student is not above his teacher. The way Jesus will go is the way his disciples will go. And we don't want that. And so on the Mount of Transfiguration, Peter will try to get Jesus to stay put, to avoid the cross, to avoid his exodus out of this world. So it is that having just made the confession that Jesus is the Christ, Peter thinks that Jesus is being foolish. Peter thinks that there is a better and easier way. But there is not. There is no easier way. For the Son of Man to be rejected, suffer, and killed, and after 3 days rise again, is what it takes for God the Father to win back the world from the devil. And there is no easier way for us either. The things that we so desperately cling to, the things of man, always betray us. They cannot satisfy, and they devolve quickly into idolatry. The commandments of our Lord are given to us to rebuke and to teach. For we need to be constantly reminded of what is good, because we do not know it. We want to worship ourselves. We're obsessed with our own needs. And we think that it's always better to take care of myself. We think that we have a right to happiness, to comfort, to health. We think that we are owed certain things. And so we find a myriad of ways and a myriad of excuses to pretend like we're not hurting anyone, where there really is no choice, where that somehow our sins are really inwardly turned selfishness is just. And so we must be taught time and time again. The law teaches us again and again, and the law is so fervent in reminding us that we do not need to take care of ourselves. We should trust God. He will take care of us. We should stop our idolatry. He has promised to take care of us. We pray it, that he will give us this day our daily bread, and we live as if we do not care or believe what Jesus says he will do. He has promised to take care of us, and he will. In the law, we learn it is good not to take care of ourselves, but instead it is good to take care of others, to give ourselves and our stuff away. Our Lord Jesus Christ does not call us to live our best life now. He calls us away from the things of man, away from living your best life now. He calls you to a cross, to pick up your cross and follow him. For the purpose of life is not to maximize pleasure or to live longer. The purpose of life is to know God, to praise him, to live in and by his grace, to be content with what he gives, to learn to trust that he works all things together for the good of those who love him. The purpose of life is to be in fellowship and communion with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and apart from that, there is nothing good. And so we see that the story of Jesus Christ is not a tragedy. It's not some surprise or horrible thing that Jesus goes to the cross. It is a love story. It is a confession of Christ's undying, eternal love for you. For the things of God are the bloody temple, where God allows men to be purified so they might come into his presence with their petitions and praise. Or do you not know that Jesus must be about his Father's things? The things of God are a ram caught in a thicket who dies in the place of Isaac. They are a virgin and an old lady conceiving sons who will both be martyred. They are a sword that pierces the soul to let the idolatry out and the Holy Spirit in. The things of God are the Lord's exodus from the world by means of the cross. This is what Moses and Elijah ponder on the Mount of Transfiguration as Peter so foolishly tries to get them to stay. This is what makes the holy angels sing, "Holy, holy, holy," as they behold Christ in his glory lifted up. This is the way that God loves the world. Not in the things of man, by the way of God. This is what Satan protests against. The Lord goes to the cross without any bitterness or regret. He is pleased to obey his Father and win us back for himself. And by this, he reveals to us, according to his true nature, his mercy. That we might confess with St. Peter and the whole church that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He is not the Christ we deserve nor want, but he is the Christ that we most certainly need. In Jesus' name, amen.